7 FM Eastside Radio.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Well, it's 28 minutes past five here on Monday Drive on Eastside Radio, and the City to Surf was last week, as we know. And apart from sore muscles, tired legs, respiratory distress, and numerous other ailments that were reported, sore feet would have had to be one of the major legacies of that race, and probably one of the ones least reported. We often overlook our feet. In fact, we take them entirely for granted until, of course, there's an issue with them. Our feet are the foundation of our daily lives, and they support us through countless steps. How many of us have counted the number of steps we take? Huge challenges and indeed significant abuse as well. And who amongst us does not neglect the health of our feet until problems arise, which lead to discomfort, pain, and in some cases, serious conditions that can impact overall well-being? Well, today we're going to shed some light on the crucial role podiatrists play, not only in treating foot and ankle issues, but also in preventing them as well. How can taking care of your feet lead to a healthier, more active life? In fact, how do you take care of your feet in the first place? Well, let's ask somebody who knows. Robin Gant, otherwise known as the Foot Fixer, is in the studio with me now. Robin, good afternoon. Welcome to Monday Drive on Eastside Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me on the program.
Oh, look, it's a great pleasure. I do have to say, before we get further into this discussion, there is a very, very large elephant in this room or in this studio. Would you like to address the elephant in the room, Robin?
Yes, the elephant in the room is my post-operative boot on my foot, made for walking, not. this is the end of an 18-month journey for me after having injured my foot at work.
Oh, I love it. How did you injure your foot at work?
And I was wearing it was Thursday. I wear flared pants on Thursdays for some reason.
Okay.
And I turned and caught my foot in the opposite trouser leg, and it wrenched my foot. inward, and then I landed heavily on it. Oh. And my client was on the bed, on the treatment table, and said, are you okay? And I said, oh, I'm fine now, but there will be consequences, and this is the consequence.
And this is the consequence. This was 18 months ago.
Yes.
And you're still in a boot.
Yes.
Or you're in a boot now.
Well, I gave it 9 months to try and fix it, but I realised gradually that I couldn't fix it.
Who did you go to? Who did you go to for advice?
So I hotted off to my favourite surgeon, foot and ankle surgeon, and yes, I definitely needed surgery to fix it.
Okay, well, the elephant has been addressed, and I'm grateful for your candour. Before you underwent any training in podiatry,
physiotherapy.
Well, hang on. Before you committed yourself to a career playing with people's smelly feet, did you, you could have tried dentistry, because that's as bad as podiatry, I would have thought, in that sense. What on earth inspired you to pursue a career in podiatry?
So my career is actually in physiotherapy. I'll just clarify that for everyone. The podiatrists get the messy stuff. I just get the clean stuff.
That's a good choice.
That's a good choice, especially after talking to some of my podiatry friends. My career in foot and ankle injury and learning about feet was very early in my career. And I was fortunate to have a fantastic mentor who was a brilliant researcher, a clinician, and a clinical educator, and she was a brilliant anatomist. And she totally inspired me to do more with my career. And so I started a master's degree in physiotherapy, and that was a fantastic journey. It took me 6 years. I do everything part-time. And it was a really exciting time for understanding the foot, because we just changed from two-dimensional methods to three-dimensional methods. And so everything that had gone on before was really pretty inaccurate.
Two-dimensional, just explain what that meant.
So I studied how the foot moved during walking. And so previously they had two-dimensional methods of cameras to get measurements of foot motion,
like a crash bunny.
Yeah, but it was really inaccurate. Right. The body works in three dimensions, and so we just unpacked the new three-dimensional motion analysis system.
Right,
and that was very exciting for us, and so we were able to. Our study was the first three-dimensional movement analysis of the foot during walking in 3D. So, and while that was happening in Sweden, there was some other three-dimensional motion studies of just movements of the foot, specific movements, and they were done in vivo. And so they had students, probably, and one of my friends, having titanium balls put into their bones to measure
in order to measure the movement. Embedded into the bone. Were they paid mightily for that?
I think they probably got some better marks for their exams.
I would think so.
Couldn't have been done here. But,
You say it was done in Sweden?
Yeah.
And so were you part of that?
I wasn't a part of that, but one of my friends is.
Right.
Yeah, so it really, that changed everything for me. So what we learnt from the gait analysis and from their studies just changed everything. And it really gave me great insight. And that's really fairly recent, recently new, because, that was back in the 1990s. But we didn't really know much about the foot before then.
Computer-generated imagery, therefore, is the study of that foot movement with embedded metal balls in the bone.
Yeah. So, well, this was the time when the CGI was just coming in. And so we were using reflective markers and measuring people's foot movement as they walked.
Right.
And, so that was really exciting for us.
Okay. So at that stage, you were engaged in a physiotherapy practice?
Yes.
Right. So you hadn't made the move to feet at this stage.
No, no. And what was interesting is that my mentor also struggled with the foot. And we didn't really know much about it. And so that ended up being my mission, to discover more about how the foot moved, and also to bring that into clinicians. You know, it's great to have research, but you need to use it in a clinical setting.
Right. So fast forward just a little bit. Tell us about the impact that the global financial crisis and COVID had on your career, if you like.
Yeah, these were really interesting times. I didn't expect to have a couple of epiphanies courtesy of these events. But during the GFC of 2008, I kept seeing people coming to me with really sore feet, but they had really widespread symptoms and they were aching all over and swollen and their feet were swelling. And they could barely move around. And it sort of dawned on me. They were experiencing tingling in their feet and legs.
Mm.
And it dawned on me that this was the impact of a stress response that's prolonged. We hadn't experienced this before.
Right.
And so I needed to help. I had to change my practice, really, to help people manage the stress. And the stress response affects the nerves, the muscles, and all the muscles that would fire with the fight-or-flight response.
Yep.
So that's why they were aching all over. Their nerves that run through those muscles were all irritated, and the swelling was because their lymphatic systems were backing up.
Right.
So
right.
I saw them, almost every client I had to do this with.
So that is a totally different scenario from the influx of patients that you may or may not have had following the City to Surf last week.
Correct.
Okay.
But also because a lot of people were out of work and then they started doing a lot of exercise thinking that that's going to help them.
Right.
But because they were really stressed, it just made things worse.
So the moral of that is that issues to do with your feet are not necessarily caused by physical foot movement. They can have to do with how your body is feeling in terms of stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find myself now checking in with every client, because having chronic foot pain is stressful in itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the incidence of chronic foot pain in Australia?
I don't actually have the statistics on that, but it's something that I see a lot, because a lot of people refer their clients on to me when they can't fix them.
Yeah, quite.
So my cohort is kind of biased towards the hard basket cases.
I was going to ask you, what are the most common issues that you encounter in your practice?
Certainly ankle injuries, and that was also what was interesting about the COVID pandemic too, because I was seeing multiple clients with the same kind of foot injury, which was happening because they were all had chucked out of the gym, and we had to socially distance when we were out on a footpath or running.
That's right.
And people would catch their foot on the edge of the path where it met the grass, think nothing of it, but almost rolled their foot.
Well, it happens every day.
Yeah. And they dismissed that. But it took some people a day or two, but others a month to kind of figure out that there's something really wrong with my foot.
Yeah.
And I think I saw I saw 20 within 6 days.
That's extraordinary. And they don't, that pain or that that anguish doesn't become manifest until some days later.
Yes. So when there's an unexpected movement that happens, the brain just, you don't get the information from the periphery up to the brain quickly enough. So the brain just chucks at it what it thinks you need to save your fall.
All right.
And all those muscles just lock on and they don't just relax. And so that can jam up the outside of your foot.
Mm.
And that has serious consequences for how the foot functions.
Yeah. You deal with feet all the time. How do you deal with somebody who has got ticklish feet?
Do you know,
most people have ticklish feet, don't they?
You would think so.
Yes.
But probably only little children are bothered by it. And,
really?
And generally they're tickly everywhere. So that's been surprising to me. That I think because I also don't work very... I don't work in a hard way. I don't hurt my clients. Hmm. But
glad to hear that,
yes,
Robin.
Well, there are some. I sort of approach the foot with a firmness that doesn't tend to make people tickle.
Mm. We were talking about chronic foot pain just a few moments ago, and your approach to it is to attempt to diagnose the cause of it, right?
Yeah.
So having established that stress is not the cause, how would you then deal with it? Because a lot of people have got what they call chronic foot pain. Many of them may be stressed. Many of them may not be stressed. So for those who are not, how do you deal with it?
Yeah, so I make sure I do a really thorough examination of all of the movements in the foot and ankle area, as well as looking above the foot. Because we can't treat the foot by itself. It's really important that we look at what's happening above and below the foot. So the foot has to pick up the tab for anything going wrong above it,
right,
as well as something going wrong in the foot.
Right.
So my practice has become very integrative to work out where the issue is, and it can be a really long way away from the foot.
Right. Well, one area which is not a long way from the foot is footwear. Now, footwear is a fashion choice in many cases, dare I say most cases. So what are the foot implications of ill-fitting or fashion shoes as opposed to structural supporting shoes?
I was discussing this with my neighbour the other day, who is she's lived in stiletto heels, and I said, I have honestly not ever seen any client injure themselves on stiletto heels.
Oh, really?
And think of Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, and she did it backwards. She has such incredible balance because of walking on her stilettos, and I have never seen someone have an injury from that.
Fred Astaire didn't have high heels.
No.
I get what you mean. I get what you mean. So what has been the most bizarre footwear you have seen that a patient did not recognise was the cause?
Okay. Plenty of those. Thongs.
Oh.
That we spend summers in.
Right.
So anything that you've got a grip with your foot, so that's not secure on your foot. And so, yeah, definitely thongs in summer. We spend a lot of the year in thongs.
You've just destroyed the happiness of a lot of people. You know that, don't you?
And also those ballet flats that...
there's nothing to them.
Well, it's not that they don't have any arch or anything. It's just that they get loose and then they slip. And then you have to grip with your toes. So that starts to really wind up the tension in your foot.
Okay.
So... seemingly, the flat shoes can be more problematic than anything that's in a heel.
Okay. Well, I'm speaking with Robin Gant, who is the foot fixer, and we're going to take just a little break and we're going to come back in just a moment.
Okay. Yes. Found sounds, lost horizons.
From Midday Tuesday, join me, Ben Fink.
And me, Trevor Brown, for an eclectic ride on a multifarious magical mystery tour in radio.
Since 2008, we've explored the realms of sound and creation.
From old to new.
Local and international.
Field recordings.
Spoken word.
Curios.
In-depth interviews.
And so much more.
See you Tuesday at noon.
Found Sounds, Lost Horizons.
Right here on Eastside Radio.
Eastside Radio, where the time is 5:45. My goodness, only 15 minutes left of Monday Drive, so you know what that means. We probably ought to have a look. You jump in front of my car. have a look at the weather and the traffic. Right.
They call it Stormy Monday.
They call it Stormy Monday, but in fact, the weather, there is a 10% chance of rain for the rest of today, and for the rest of the week, there is around about a 30% chance every day of rain, with maximum temperatures up to 25 degrees on Wednesday. That's the pick of the week, and it's 21 for the rest. Sunday is going to be nice, 25 degrees. Next Monday, I'll be bringing you Classical Beats Monday Drive from Bondi Beach, where it'll be a nice sunny 25 degrees. So we've got some pretty reasonable weather to look forward to for the rest of the week, even though there's a small chance of rain throughout. As far as the traffic is concerned, Beverly Hills, we have a crash which involves a car versus a motorcycle. That is never good. There are two out of four northbound lanes are closed, lanes 3 and 4. So just be wary of that one. That's Beverly Hills at the King George's Road at Morgan Street. I'm happy to say we don't have many more crashes. We've got a bit of roadworks here, there and everywhere, but by and large, I would think your ride home this afternoon should be pretty reasonable. So there's the traffic and the weather.
Spheno-palatine ganglion neuralgia
is the scientific term for brain freeze.
For more fun facts, science, and tunes with a tenuous connection, Boiling Point, Tuesdays, 6 p.m.
5:47 here on Eastside Radio. I have Robin Gant, the foot fixer, here in the studio with me. And we're talking about, strangely enough, we're talking about feet. Robin, you've said thongs and ballet shoes are to be avoided.
The ballet flats, the little elasticized ones, not the ones that the dancers have on point, but they're called little ballet flats that slip on.
I'm not altogether familiar with
anything
those.
That sort of slips on and off your foot. You've got a grip usually.
Okay. Diabetes. Tell us how diabetes impacts in foot care.
Well, that's actually not usually part of my job description, and that's where the podiatrists come in. What I was just going to mention just in that last segment is about what's the most dangerous thing for us to have for our feet in terms of footwear is that the foot hates being squashed sideways. It hates being constricted. So any sort of tight shoe can then lead on to other to conditions such as like Morton's neuroma.
I was going to ask you about Morton's neuroma because there is a cure for that, and that's pressure to separate those bones that are being trapped, isn't it? Is that correct?
Yes. So what happens in the foot is if the foot is compressed sideways, the nerves are running between the toes.
Right.
And they become compressed.
Mm.
And so the longer that goes on, the tissues start to thicken up and form nodules around the nerve.
Right.
And they can be really painful. But they can be treated conservatively with working on the muscles that have become tight and are compressing the foot.
Right.
As well as muscles in the top of the foot can mimic this type of pain. And we also need to be able to reinstate the spaces between the toes. So we can use manual therapy techniques for that, and we can also use toe spreaders that you can walk around in.
Right.
And that's very helpful.
And talking about helpful devices, orthotics simply flavour of the month, or is there any use of them? I mean, are they any good? Because a lot of people have them, don't they?
Yes. And the Morton's neuroma is often a case where they might use what's called a metatarsal dome, just to sort of lift and spread the toes. But you don't want to take up more space in the shoe, so that's going to compress it.
Right.
And a helpful tip for avoiding this is when you're buying a shoe, if you can pull the liner out and stand on it, you should be able to feel the edge of it all the way around your foot when you're standing and looking on your foot if you put the liner on.
Right.
So it's called the shoe liner test. And if you can't feel the edge of it, the shoe is too narrow in your forefoot. So that's a really helpful thing, how to not end up with a Morton's neuroma.
Folks, you heard it here first on Monday Drive. So you're suggesting when we go out to the shop to buy our shoes, we take the inside sole out.
Yeah. And
put
and
your
stand.
Foot in.
Yep.
And if you can feel the edges.
Yep. You're good.
You're good.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens when you put the sole back in? That's going to squash you up a bit, isn't it?
Not necessarily. You're looking for width.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a width test. Yeah.
Okay. Myths about foot care.
Oh, there's lots of those.
Oh, just hit me with a couple.
Yes. Well, we could start with some plantar heel pain. The heel spur. People think their heel spur is the problem when they've got a plantar heel pain.
Right.
And that was... that's been there all along. It's not something that is generally going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so once the people, the client's issue has resolved, they've still got the spur there. So that was sort of ruled out in the 60s. And also...
Spurs are normal, right?
Yeah, so that's that's a sort of response from the muscles pulling on the bone.
Okay.
And it's actually the short muscles underneath the foot
mm-hmm.
that create that. But that's not really the problem, but a lot of people think it is.
Right.
Yeah. And the other myth is that mm-hmm. People come in saying, oh, I've got plantar fasciitis. But that's just one thing that it could be, and there are many, many sources of symptoms and many reasons why they've got pain in the heel of their foot, and that could involve other soft tissues, joints, muscles, and nerves.
Mm.
And so I've got about 23 things that I would look for someone who's got pain underneath their heel. So it's not just the plantar fascia. The plantar fascia is a aponeurosis that goes. It's a strong. It's not a ligament, but it's a tensile structure underneath your foot.
Right,
and it can be torn. That's extremely painful.
Yep,
it can be irritated. It can thicken. But it's not always what we're going to treat. I mentioned that when people sort of lock the outside of their foot up, when they've just sort of mm-hmm. almost rolled their ankle, the foot can stay like that for a really long time.
Yeah.
And that then causes extra load on the inside of the foot. So there's lots of contributing factors that go into that.
Right.
Lots of different types of sources of symptoms.
Is there a difference in the way you address foot issues for children versus adults?
Yes, I don't see a lot of children because that's a separate sort of paediatric area for children up to about the age of 10. Mm-hmm. So if there were any sort of significant issues for feet, they'd go to a paediatric foot and ankle specialist.
Right.
Yeah. So it sort of divides it because their feet look bizarre because they don't have sort of connecting joints for quite some time.
Yeah.
It's a very different type of practice.
Right. So what are the signs that indicate that somebody should see a podiatrist rather than, for example, a general practitioner?
Yeah, so we would often refer to podiatrists, particularly people who have painful collapsed arches in their foot. Those can often be remedied, but often they need that sort of full support while they're recovering.
Right.
And they're usually sort of more customised, so we can usually get away with a sort of off-the-shelf device if we think it's just going to be a short-term thing.
Right.
And refer on to podiatrists if there's they need a lot more support.
When people go to a doctor, and I'm talking really younger people, really, do you find there's a hesitance or anxiety when people come and see you about a foot?
Yes, yes.
How do you deal with that?
Well, particularly knowing that it's linked with the stress response.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
so right. I'm screening for anxiety, anxiety as well,
mm.
and we can teach them breathing five breaths, and it's gone, and they don't feel it again. So this is what I was learning in the GFC. So I can get them to feel their muscles and they can switch them off with their breath. Mm. And they're just quite surprised by that.
If somebody was wanting, so inspired by what you've said today, and I must admit, I think everybody has learned at least something. If somebody wanted to pursue a career as you have, what would your advice be to them?
Get a mentor. And that's my intro into my mentorship program, which I'm running online.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few physiotherapists with the skill level that we have. There's mm-hmm. A couple in Melbourne, so this has been my passion project, and so I teach allied health practitioners how to solve and deal with the complex cases. So that's been a really big part of my life.
Well, let's get a bit of a plug in. Where is the Foot Fixer, and how do people get in contact with this?
So my physiotherapy practice is called Joint Health, and that's in York Street in the city. And my mentorship training program for allied health practitioners is called Advanced Foot and Ankle Therapy. And
you have email or website?
Yep, website, www.afaat.com.au, and that's short for Advanced Foot and Ankle Therapy.
Well, Robin, we have learned a great deal today, and that's coming from someone with her own foot in a wonderful non-fashion designer boot.
It comes off tomorrow.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, there you go. Look, it's time for us to go now. So thank you for joining us, Robin. Thank you for coming into the studio today. I've been speaking with Robin Gant, the Foot Fixer.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed the show. You can, if you wish to, you can send your comments through to mondaydrive@eastsidefm.org. Thank you to my guests this afternoon, Christian Winter, Glenn James, Ben Mannion, and of course Robin Gant. And we'll all help her out of the studio so that she doesn't put too much pressure on that foot. If you'd like to have a look at the playlist from today's program, that's available at eastsidefm.org. Navigate to the Monday Drive section. Next up on Eastside Radio is Breaking Waves, and there's plenty to follow that. Great reasons to stay with us here on 89.7. I'm Alan Field. Thank you for your company on Monday Drive. Bye for now.
Side.